Blog Talk Radio.
Those who are listening online and to record this for that.
In the future, this particular meeting won't go out over the broadcast. We will be doing it here in meetings.glorytoyah.org in the Yesharon Business Room meeting. So I want to welcome you all. If anybody else calls in to the line, they probably will not get passed through to this, the online meeting, because this is for those people who are actively supporting, and we got people who have been calling in, but they have not been doing what they are supposed to do. So until they start doing that, then this will be, you know, a closed meeting to those members that are doing what they're supposed to do. Okay. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and proceed. I want to welcome you all to meetings.glorytoyah. This is the website that I will start also doing the lessons from. You know, a lot of the precepts, this and blog talk. So as you can see, as I've gone over with all of you, that we can do video, we can do audio, we can share documents, and those types of things. So this is just a much richer environment in order to have meetings, to share the whiteboard and what have you. So let us go ahead and let us start with our statement of faith. And then we will go ahead and call this meeting to order, and we will get into it. We have a lot to cover on this evening. All right, our statement of faith. And let me have you do it this way. If you will mute your end, mute your microphone, you can repeat it because you can read it from the screen. In the future, maybe we will go live like that since everybody can read it. But on tonight, I'll just say it and we'll move on. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, Father. We just lift you up and we magnify you on today, Father. We invite you here to this meeting, Father, and we thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you're going to do. We just give you glory and honor and praise on this day, Father. And we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. And another will we not worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised. Oh, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads if you're listening on a broadcast somewhere. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right, our scripture today is coming from Psalms 133. So if you'll go into your Bibles to Psalms 133. And the word of the Most High reads, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, and the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen." All right. Let us go here. Let me close this up. And let's go to the agenda. I did put the agenda up here. Yeah. All right. So I make a motion that we call this meeting to order. Do I have a second? Amen. All right. Amen. All in favor say aye. Any nay, say nay. The ayes have it. Okay, hold on just a second. And let me make sure that your mic is enabled. Should be enabled. All right. Let's continue here. All right, so this meeting is officially open. These are the attendees for this particular meeting. And Sister Mary, you're on there this time.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Brother Tom.
Amen. All right. We're going to discuss as part of this meeting. So let me just state it. Brother Miles, Sister Mary, Sister Denise, and Sister Lorraine are in attendance at this meeting. And the meeting has officially been called to order. On the books for today, we're going to be discussing Yesharon Farms. We're going to be talking about setting up a 501c3 for the farm. This is going to be separate and outside of the church. So even though it's connected functionally and authoritatively, it's going to fall up under a 501c3. And there's a reason for that. We're going to establish this as a housing co-op, and we're going to discuss those things today. And what the housing co-op is going to do for us, it's going to give us the ability to apply for grants and for loans for building purposes, for housing. We're going to be able to apply for grants that will do like the perimeter fencing, and the water, the atmospheric water generator, and anything else that we want to do, this will enable us to apply for grants. But we have to be a 501c3. I do not want to put this up under the 508 or make the church a 501c3 as well. Well, if we do a 501c3, then we lose our 508. And we don't want to lose the 508. The 508 allows us to be a separate government up under the United States Constitution and to, you know, be able to have our own citizenship. Our citizenship, according to our bylaws, is in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the Most High. So we want the 501c3 to be tied to the farm itself as a separate entity and not Yah Global Kingdom Ministry. I've already applied for the Farm Services Association account, and that's to get a farm number for the farm. And that enables us to, we got to have that in order to be able to apply for the grant. Okay, so as I said, the grants are going to give us the ability to make applications. And I've already made these a supplemental or a pre-application and a business plan. And the business plan is currently being reviewed. But I applied for $200,000 to cover the purchasing of solar and the electric generators, the atmospheric water generators, and the perimeter fencing. Okay, and so we will, as I get those approvals in the different business meetings, then I will go over that. Also in this meeting, we're here to talk about deciding what type of co-op we want to have, because there's different ones, and of the five that are available, we have to decide whether we want to be market rate or whether we want to be limited equity type of a co-op. And so we're going to get into what is a co-op and all those different things. And we may not get into that as in depth tonight, because I want to go over and have you guys to down. I sent it to you in the email, the glossary of terms, because it's important that we're on the same page when we're talking. We're using the same definitions for everything. Okay. And then we're going to need to establish a separate set of bylaws, aside and apart from Yah Global Kingdom Ministry, for Yeshurun Farms. So we're going to be using the Cooperative Housing Toolbox to walk through all of this. So tonight what I really want to talk about is I'm going to first bring us up to date, and then we're going to go over the terminology in this meeting. Amen? All right, amen. Okay, so as far as the microgreens business goes, I have to figure out a way to cool off my green room. It is much too hot, and when the plants are growing from seed, as far as for the microgreens, they are coming up with a lot of white mold, and researching that's being caused by it being too hot and too humid and not enough airflow. So I've hooked up the AC to the grow room, but I think what I'm going to have to do is actually change the microgreen tables to be in the first room, because that one will stay cooler, and then move the other plant into the second room. I got it vice versa right now. I also learned that, you know, apple cider vinegar will kill, you know, mold, white mold. And so I've sprayed the current crop down with apple cider vinegar, and I just want to see what it's going to do. You know, the plants are coming up, but I want to see if this apple cider vinegar will actually cure that issue over a couple of days. And then I may have to include that as part of the treatment as far as prevention to get those plants to grow correctly. But right now, that's the issue. It's just too hot and too humid. It's been averaging like 97 degrees in that room. So I imagine when it actually does get up to 97, 98, 99, over 100 degrees, and in those grow rooms is going to be even hotter. I will keep them under the AC, and I'll, you know, run separate ducting, I think that's the word, ducting, to the grow room and have the AC on them, but I'm going to have to keep them closed up. And like I said, I'm going to remove the microgreen tables from there, from the second room into the first, and see if I can control the temperature, keep it down in the 80s or the 70s, you know, even during the summer, by controlling it through the AC. So that is where we're at on that. And I was actually working on the outside. I actually grew some melons and some cucumbers, some potatoes, and I'm going to grow all this outside. But part of it is going to be in the dirt, and part of it is going to be in hydroponics outside. So you guys saw the hydroponics where we grew the strawberries at last year. I'm not going to use that setup. I'm going to use that probably again for strawberries. But I've created, you know, the trellises, and I've created the reservoir tank for the trellises. And so I was putting that together earlier. So I will videotape it and upload it here, and you'll be able to see, you know, what the progress is. That, you know, all of those, everything but, what was it? I think the watermelon. The watermelon plant didn't do well in the heat, in the grow room. When I grew them from seeds last year, they did better outside. So maybe the lights were too hot that I have them up under or something. But I've taken them out and taking them from under the light and seeing if I can recover them. But everything else, you know, the cantaloupe and, I have one watermelon. It is the honeydew melons that didn't do well. So I will, again, videotape it where they're at now and show you the system. And I'm going to attempt to grow these all outside so that they will run on these trellises and not be on the ground. So I will show you all that. But putting that together, and I had to put together the electrical box where the air pump that's going to provide the oxygen to the feed tank is what I'm going to call it. But it's a hydroponic feed tank for each of the plants. They need to be aerated. So, you know, you have to run an air pump or one of those aerators to each one. So I've been working on that, and hopefully I will get that done by tomorrow and put these plants outside or put them out on the back porch and let them start to get acclimated to sunlight and the heat outside, and then I will transfer them into those hydroponic units and start to grow them out there. I may let them go another 2 or 3 days. I have them right now in cups, and you've seen those like red plastic cups. I have them growing in those. I took them from where I germinated the seed, and they start growing roots, so then I transfer them into these to control each one individually. And so I'm going to transfer them from the cups into the hydroponic unit. Okay. So that's as far as, you know, the hydroponics go and that type of stuff. And as I said, I will videotape it and upload the video here. And you can just come here. Well, as soon as I'm comfortable with you guys clicking on stuff, then I will give you admin rights. And you'll be able to load the videos yourself, songs and what have you. Anything that I have uploaded here, you'll be able to, you know, just drag and load it. And you can do it, you know, individually, or if it's already been loaded in the room, then you'll have the ability to actually play it. Right now, I'm the only one with those permissions. But like I said, as soon as I feel comfortable that you know what you're doing, then I will give you those permissions. So I'll train you on how to do it and then give you the permissions and let you, you know, play around with doing it. Okay. All right, amen. All right. Let's see. Let's look at this glossary of terms. We want to go over this, and I'm going to actually load this other document so that we can see the document that I'm using. And let me open up another dashboard. or white ward. All right, the main document that I'm getting this from, as I did, okay, going on, okay. All right, so while that loads, it's a big document. The main document that I've been getting this from is the Housing Toolbox, the Practical Guide. And it actually walks you through, for co-ops, housing co-ops, this one that I found actually walks you through everything. And when I mean everything, it gives you samples of everything. Of course, we will have to modify it and make it work for us. And there are certain aspects of this that the way co-ops are designed, they are designed to be democratic. So that, you know, the people decide and are in charge of everything that happens. And that's fine to a degree. My goal is to make sure that once we are set up and the way we're going to do the housing, that in the future generation, if we do it right, they won't have to change any of this and the way things are supposed to run. And so how, you know, the rules and everything won't need to be changed. So I want to make the bylaws where even in the bylaws, it will take an act of Congress for them to make a change. You know, so, and that's something that we all want to discuss. But I want to make sure that what we are doing is bulletproof and that it will endure through time. So if we take our time and set it up correctly, then future generations won't have an issue with, let me see if this is loaded yet. Yeah, everything but the picture is. So, I'll just bring it to right here. All right. So, Sister Mary went out, and she was also searching for grants and loans and things like that that we may be eligible for. Sister Lorraine went out and did the same thing. And when we came across the co-op, co-ops are designed for many different purposes. And I believe this is going to be the correct format that we should proceed in. Because it allows us to define everything as far as when it comes to the housing and how we're going to do the housing, you know, the rules of the housing, contracts and everything like that. It allows us to define it. And as I said, you know, we want to be able to, if somebody's not going to do what they're supposed to do, that we have a means to address it. So everything in here, and we've all decided all this. Eventually, as we get the, you know, the more people and the right number of people, then we want to establish committees. And the committees will be responsible for certain things. Okay. But right now, well, let me go back here. Let's look at some of the things that are in this document. And as I said, this document is called the Housing Toolbox, and it's actually designed for co-ops or organizations that want to become co-ops, and it gives them a guideline as to how to do that as far as becoming a housing co-op. Okay. So in here, it's going to tell us, you know, what is a cooperative as far as what the government and what the world recognizes that. Okay, now, the running of the co-op and your individual rules is whatever we agree upon. And so, as we go through this, I already know there's some wording that I want to change in certain areas. because I really want this to be run by a, they call it a board, but I call it, you know, we can call it a board or a council, but I want it to be run by a board of elders, that they would be, you know, responsible for making sure everything happens as supposed to happen, okay? And then we will also, of course, get the sisters involved. So the cooperative history and its origins, the types of housing co-ops, whether we want to do a market rate or an equity cooperative, and this is going to be important because this allows the individual participating in the co-op to treat their residence just like an individual home. And so all the tax write-offs and everything else, you would be able to get those with the, you know, with the government. Because we're doing this community-wise, I may modify this some and bring it before you. And once I understand all the legalese, so that we can do it a little bit different, because I want to make it to where, how do I say this, that we're in control of it, but it remains for the kingdom of the Most High. We don't want people trying to join and make investments, you know, joining because, and well, we're going to be in control as far as who can actually join anyway. Okay, but we're going to need to go over all this. So whether it's going to be a limited equity cooperative or a lease, hold cooperative, these are all legal lease terms. And once we make the decision, then, you know, this is what we're going to have to stick to. Okay, and then there, you know, this document tells you and discusses the differences between among the housing types that you can bring up under a co-op, and truthfully, you can bring anything that you want up under a cooperative. For housing, it's really designed so that you make housing more affordable, if that's the goal, but that we're all in ownership of the housing as one single unit, okay? The benefits and the challenges of cooperative housing, and so the economic benefit, the social benefit. Then there is a separate section for members. So, you know, we all are going to have to be familiar with, you know, starting from the members and then coming up through the different committees or boards that will be formed. So member rights and member responsibilities, this document sort of discusses that, but really, again, that's going to be up to us. We would have to vote on it and decide what is going to be the way forward of operation. So this is a guideline, and then we can modify that. But we have to do it in our bylaws. Member rights and member responsibilities, democracy, and the cooperative model. Now, as I said, co-ops are designed to be a democracy, and where that is feasible, I want to follow that model because, you know, everybody should have a say. And then where it's not feasible, I want to make sure that the bylaws reflect that this is not in the control of the members, but it'll be a control of the board, or it will be strictly be controlled by the bylaws. Because, you know, as people join, we got to make sure that they understand what they're joining and what their responsibilities are and what they're going to need to do. Okay. Then the legal structure. Tomorrow, if everything goes right, I'm going to go down to the Corporation Commission, and I'm going to file paperwork for Yesheron Farms as a 501c3. So the articles of incorporation, and I'm just trying to decide whether we're going to be an S corp. And I'm thinking it's going to be an S corp. I don't think we want to do a limited liability corporation. Most farms are sole proprietorship because they're owned by a single family. But we're going to actually do this as a group. So we're going to be structured a little bit different. So it depends upon, you know, how much paperwork needs to be filed, because I've not filed an S-Corp yet. But I will go down tomorrow and see what all is necessary. Maybe I can do it online, sign into the Corporation Commission and set up the corporation, file the paperwork online and pay for it. And then once it's approved, then we have to file for our 501c3 with the IRS. And that's the difference between a 508 and a 501. A 508 is a nonprofit, faith-based organization, and it doesn't fall up under the IRS. But a 501c3 falls up under the IRS. Okay, so we'll have to look and see how that affects us as far as what we can say and what we can't say. There may have to be, you know, some wordsmithing that goes on concerning, you know, we're just not going to, you know, allow gay people. Just the bottom line. Right, just the bottom line. And, you know, that is, I believe if we put it in our, you know, if we put in our bylaw that that's how we're operating, that this is a religious community, and it's based upon these things, that we may not qualify for certain grants. And if that's the case, oh well, then we'll just have to look at ways, you know, other ways of doing things. But the bottom line is, we're going to stick to, you know, community and what have you. We're going to stick with the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. So, you know, everybody coming into the community has to understand that and agree to that. And when we go through this, you'll see we have the authority to allow whomever we want to join. So we set our standards, and that's who we let in. So if they don't want to agree to that, then they won't be able to join. It's just that simple. And I don't think that's going to be a big problem, but I think it's going to, you know, even amongst our own people, we talk a good game, but when it really comes down to doing things, a lot of the times when people have to make a commitment, they won't do it. Or if they know that you're going to hold their feet to the fire, they won't do it. So we shall see whosoever the Most High sends. Okay. But they will understand if they're coming to live on the farm and they're living in the housing, and as we add on, then this is what they would be buying into. Okay. So we will do our articles of incorporation. We'll start working on the bylaws. And then the occupancy agreement. So the occupancy agreement, you know, everybody would have to sign one. And know what the rules are. So, you know, if we don't want loud music after a certain hour, then we have to state that, like, and we'd have to state that in the bylaws, but we'd have to state it in the house rules. And so anything that we want to be permanent in stone, we want to put it in the bylaws. Anything that we want that is that's open to be changed, because maybe we didn't get it right, or it's not something written in stone. Like, let's say the house rules, we don't want to have written in stone, because we might have to, you know, we might not think of everything, and we might need to modify them, and they're easier to change. Okay, but the bylaws are going to be harder to change. The bylaws are going to be what we say we're about written in stone and what we don't want to change, not even in future generations. They can change the house rules and things like that. So let's say we don't want loud music after a certain hour. Then that would be part of the house rule. And each house would have those same rules. And so, you know, the ability to bring forth grievances and things like that, we want to solve them in the community first and not go outside. And so that's why I said we want a board of elders that would hear these issues as we get people in. Because, you know, people say one thing and then they move in and they start doing stuff that is not acceptable or goes against the rules, and we need to have ways to deal with that. So we talk about the occupation agreement, subscription agreement, and that's like a pre-agreement, federal, state, and local regulatory agreement. So there's certain things like, if let's say that, I don't see us going this way, but if we were trying to open this to, not everybody has the same means, financial means. And so as a community, what I would like to see is that as a community, we purchase or have built the unit. And then as a community, we are, what do you call it, putting all the funds together and paying for everything as a community. And so if somebody comes in at the Most High stands and they don't have the financial wherewithal, they have limited, you know, capability, then we want to be able to handle that and not have, you know, they can pay what they're able to pay. But at the same time, then we want to make it to where it's not going to put a real big strain on everybody else. So if we're, you know, there are some government assistance for people who have, you know, lower income, but they're moving into a situation like this. But if we're, like I said, if we're going to go by the statute, laws, and commandments of the Most High, some of these we may not qualify for. But they may say, hey, you cannot discriminate based upon race, sex, age, and then what's the other one? Religion. Everybody understand that? So we have to be able to deal with that. Okay. Then the annual meetings, there's a required annual meeting. And so, you know, this has to be set up, required to meet at least once a year. And then, you know, talk about all the business that the housing co-op is, you know, been conducting during the year. Any projects that were completed, future business, you know. So I see this annual meeting, what will be discussed there are, you know, relevant issues concerning what's going on with the housing, or if we have projects like installing more electricity or anything like that, that it would be, you know, brought to the congregation or the community, and it would be voted on if we were going to, you know, proceed with adding on more housing or doing whatever, because it would take everybody's participation. So that meeting, they sort of tell you how to set it up and, you know, all the things that you have to do. As I said, this guide is pretty well put together. Then the challenges of co-op. Okay, so we want to go, we're going to go over all this. But I'm gonna actually do the 501c3 because that's how we're gonna control everything. But the bylaws and everything, we need to go through all this so that we can effectively write decent bylaws. Okay. So we have and I will make this available, this document available to all of us so that you can go over it in your own time outside of this meeting. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Board of directors, how they should be made up, the composition, their meeting, their term, how long they should be board of directors, you know, members of the board of directors. And again, even with this, as the community grows, I think the terms in here may be part of the bylaws that I will say will be changeable. Because to start off, we might have people hold on.
Well, they might have kicked them out. There you go.
All right. Am I back? All right, am I back? All right, yeah, it did kick me out. Okay. Let's continue here. I'm just going to stop my video for right now. Okay. All right, so they do have a board on here for recruiting members, and we might consider this as outreach. We'll look at this, but, you know, we want to screen people. Again, we want to make sure that they are, number one, because this is a religious community, that they're going to adhere to the standards that we're setting up. And this board will be responsible for that. Okay? So they have a sample agenda, board orientation, board officers, so forth and so on. So the guy, you know, the guy goes into a lot of detail. Okay, and then each one of us right now, I may assign and if you need to be trained, you know, to how to facilitate a board or facilitate a meeting or give you a certain responsibility. Because one person can't do it all. Okay. Communication with the members. As I said, these are guidelines that, you know, they just help you if you've never done it before, if you've never had anything like this. And I like this guide because it, you know, it really goes through a whole lot of things. Okay, so working with co-op partners, legal contracts and things like that. If we're going to hire employees, get an attorney, bookkeeper, because all of this stuff will have to be kept, you know, we want everything above board and everything has to be kept, you know, current and up to date. So let's scroll down here because I'll send you this and you can go through this other part. You know, so even down to committees for maintenance. Even though there's going to be a community, you know, the community's going to be responsible for it. But, you know, everything needs to be what? In writing. And that way everybody knows what needs to be done, what they're responsible for, and so forth. And then I gave you part of this, but we're going to go through the glossary of terms. And then on next week, after we review the glossary of terms, so we have, you know, kind of an ideal of when we're reading this document, what it's talking about, and we can refer back to the, you know, the glossary. But we're going to go through these different, you know, these different boards that they have, the different documents that they recommend. And the goal is to get to the bylaws. Does everybody understand that? Okay, that's the goal of all this, is to get to the bylaws, because we need to start working on the bylaws as soon as possible. And we need to, you know, we've been taking a long time to do the bylaws for Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry, because it is, as I said, it's a different type of organization, and we are considered our own government. And that we fall directly up under the kingdom of the Most High. And so we're a member of his kingdom in his country. And so, but, you know, we have to govern ourselves that way and have to, you know, understand how we are to associate even with other, you know, even within this country. You know, your primary citizenship should be in the kingdom of the Most High. So they ask you, what is your citizenship? I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. First, secondary, I'm a citizen of the United States. Does that make sense? Okay. And because as we progress in this, then, you know, ID cards and rights, there are rights that we have. As sovereign citizens that we don't have as citizens of the United States. So, you know, even to the point that once everything is in place and, you know, everybody's trained, then if the police stop you, you can show them your Yah's Global Kingdom citizenship card. And on the back of it, it will have, you know, the rights for the Geneva Convention, for the UCC, all these different corporate and international bodies that govern citizenship of other countries. So, you know, there are, as a diplomat, you have certain rights. But we have to be trained on those things, and people have to understand them and know them. Right? You can demand immunity. You can tell the police that they don't really have the authority to arrest you. Okay, so there's all kind of different things that go along with it, and that's why I'm taking so long with our bylaws. For Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. Because, you know, we say we follow the statutes, laws, and commandments and the judgments of the Most High. That's exactly what we have to be doing. You know, we can't be willy-nilly. We can't be, you know, double-minded. And so, you know, I know that there's a lot of people trying to get their sovereignty for themselves, and the government just looks them up and down and takes you all these things, but the Most High made a way for this already. And because they're not understanding what he's done, and what the governments of the world have done, they don't understand that they, you know, when they become a member of the right organization, they can become a member of another country. In this case, we're not making up our own country. This is already established and is recognized by all the governments of the world, the kingdom of heaven. So these bylaws, though, I don't want to take as long on. Because, as I said, I've already started filing. I filed the paperwork to, you know, get the farm number. And the farm number will, right now, I'm applying for things up under my own name. But once we get the 501c3, then we will file up under the 501c3. It should open more doors for us. Now, while I will say this, and we have to be mindful of this, the USDA and the U.S. government have always treated black farmers what? Bad. Yeah, real poor. And they were trying to, you know, make it up, and this is the right time and the right atmosphere. But I don't think that the walk is going to be any easier. Okay, so they have traditionally given black farmers less money than they've given, you know, white counterparts of with the same credentials. And so we just need to be mindful of that. But right now the atmosphere is that they want to do things right. They want to straighten out the things of the past. They were actually going through and forgiving all of the black farmers for the loans and the debts that they had. And then the white farmers complained, so now that's on hold. You know, they were trying to, you know, make up or pay some type of reparation for past and how they've done things. But I think that if we go in, you know, with the right documentation and the right wording, you know, focusing on like sustainability. I have to look at the other keywords, but sustainability is one of them. And then, I have to look and see because it's not coming to my mind right now. But if we go into it with the right keywords and as part of our business plan, that those are the areas we're going to address, then we should get some money, maybe not as much as we would get if we say we're white, but we should get some. And so that is the goal. I'm trying to get as much money as we can get through grants before we start looking at loans. Just the fence alone, I was pricing out the fence to put up the perimeter fence around the farm, and that's going to be close to like $40,000, just the fence alone, over that acreage. So, you know, they have grants for that, and as much of it as, you know, whatever they will pay for, that's what we will do. And then if they don't do the whole thing, then, you know, as we are able to make the money, then, or find another grant, we will pay for, you know, getting the whole property fenced in. But that, you know, that's one of the first things. And since they'll let you do it, apply for it as a beginning farmer, I went ahead and applied. So, you know, we can get the fencing up, then any stray cattle that happen to be on the land, we'll run them off, because there are still cattle roaming the land up there. Everything has been open range. So, you know, there's cattle from the people who originally owned the land still roaming everywhere. But once we fence it in, then, you know, we will either corral them up or have them to corral them up. I'll probably have them come and corral them up and move them outside of the fence. Where they go to from there is, you know, that's on them. As long as they remove them from the land. Okay, so conflict of interest policy. Let's say that one of your family members want to come and, you know, not your, you know, one of your family members want to become part of the community. Then, as part of the interview process, if you were on this board, or if you were on the board for interviewing new people coming on, then you would want to excuse yourself from the board so somebody can't say that you were what, impartial? Your conflict of interest. Okay. So just different things. And like I said, everything is here. We will go through it all. And it will make sure that everybody is familiar and has a copy of it. And then we will file the bylaws to be amended, you know, or appended to the Articles of Incorporation. Once we have it done. But I'm going to set up the corporation first, and then we just make an amendment to the corporation and include the bylaws. Does that make sense? Okay. So, you know, the grievance policy, complaint forms, and things like that, all of that is on here. Sample committee documents, you know, membership committee, finance committee, maintenance committee, committee meetings, minutes. Interview guide for prospective members. You know, they give you a like a sample one. We'll use it as a guideline, but then, as I said, we already know that they're going to have to agree to adhere to the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. And if they are, you know, practicing being gay, they declare that they're gay, and they won't be able to join. If they are repentant and they are, you know, it's just like somebody that says, yeah, I'm single and I'm chasing skirts. Well, the answer is going to be no, you can't be a member. You know, so it's no different. If they don't agree to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, then they can't be a member. Now, we will look at this, and I'm still looking at how we are able to finance housing, but, you know, people's credit is important, but everybody, you know, everybody don't have good credit. And a lot of our people don't have good credit. And so, you know, we need to look at this and say, okay, they don't have good credit. If the way that we're structured, their payment is going to be based upon, you know, them working in the community, then, you know, credit won't be a big issue because they won't really actually be paying. So we'll look at these things though. Because if we have to take a loan and everybody's responsible for the loan and everybody's responsible for a certain portion of the loan, then if somebody's not used to paying their bills, then that could be a problem. You know, so we will, again, we will discuss all this, and, you know, we'll make a decision. And that's what we'll have to stick by. And everybody will have to, you know, we can't be discriminatory and say, oh, it's okay for these people, but, you know, these people don't have to meet that standard. That won't work. Okay. And then once, you know, you're a member of the community, if there's any grievances or if there's any, you know, you're not doing what you're supposed to do, then there's somebody that has to be responsible for writing that up. Or let's say that a member of the community sees something going on and they want to report it. Then there's got to be ways for them to report that. And so we will talk about all these things. All right, so Everybody understand the review process we're going to go through? All right, amen. So let's go back to glossary of terms. And as I said, we'll sort of go over these together. And then I believe I actually sent you a copy of this portion already in your email. So you can download it from there. Or if you look at the bottom of, let's see, where did I see that at? If you go to Files, and on your screen, if you go to Files, next to Users, go to Files. So you see where you have the Users tab. You're on the Users tab right now. And if you look to the right of that, you'll see a tab that says Files. Click on Files. Yeah, I think I got them up under Room Files. Maybe I don't have them up under Room. No, they're up under Group. They're up under Group Files. Yes, sir. And then you see co-op. Yeah, you see. No, Group Files. Yes, sir. And then you see up under group, you see co-op. Did you click the plus sign next to the group files for yes or on, Mary? Okay. So if you highlight one of those files, like they highlight the glossary of terms, you got to click on the plus sign next to co-op. It'll open up and show you the files inside. So highlight, click on glossary of terms. Nope, I'm going to have to give you guys permission. You don't have permission to download these. Yeah, there's... Yeah, that's why I said I want y'all to have know what you're doing first.
Thank you.
You called me, Brother Miles. Can't get to the site. Yeah, that ain't what y'all gonna say. Y'all ain't gonna say what I done did. Y'all gonna say, it don't work. And y'all ain't gonna tell me what y'all did.
Okay. I think
yeah, it'll turn blue. If you look at the bottom of that window, you see where it says activities and actions. Okay, above that, you see a 0/0. And below that 0/0, you see that arrow with a bar up under it. If you put your mouse on that little arrow, it's kind of grayed out. It says download. Right, when you get permission, you should be able to click that, and it will download this file to your computer. Okay, right now, it won't do it because you don't have the permission. Okay, so I have already emailed these documents to you. I will email the Housing Toolbox Practical Guide to everybody. That way, it's a big document. I don't recommend printing it off unless you just got it like that. Just read it from your computer. Okay? Anybody have any questions so far? You don't have to do that.
Go back to users.
Just go back to users at the top. Yeah, click on users. That just brings you back to that tab. All right, any questions so far? By the time we finish this, Mary, you're going to be able to teach it. Right. Yeah, you know, practice makes perfect, right? So, yeah. All right, so in our glossary of terms, what time we got, 6:10? In our glossary of terms, acceleration clause, and everybody there with me? Okay. A clause in a mortgage that accelerates or hastens, speeds up the time when the debt comes due. So, for example, most mortgages contain a provision that the note shall become due immediately upon the sale or transfer of a title of the land or upon failure to pay an installment or principal or interest. Now, I think most mortgages give you like 90 days before they start taking action. So we would, you know, we wouldn't say immediately, but we wouldn't go by this definition right here, but like most mortgages, if you get behind 3 months, then they start foreclosure. And so that is what, you know, probably the same standard we would go by. But that's what that accelerated clause means. If you don't pay for 3 months, then the total payment is due, or you can catch up on your past payments. And we got to think about this as well, because by our own laws, the laws of the Most High, let me ask this question, let's see who knows it. By the laws of the Most High, can we charge our own brothers and sisters interest?
No.
So we couldn't really charge them late charges. So we got to understand that. So we got to look at and see, depending upon how we're set up, if we're getting charged late charges because of, let's say, we finance something, then they would have to get charged late charges. It's not going to be by us. It's going to be by whatever entity is charging us. Because by our own law, by the laws of the Most High, we can't charge each other usury. Okay, so these are just, I'm just bringing up things that we need to what, consider? And make, you know, an account for as we set up the bylaws and these different documents. Accountability. Being answerable for actions that are performed by others and for the consequences of those actions. So each person should be accountable for their own actions, but then if you're over a committee, then you're accountable for the actions of the members of the committee. Because as the leader of the committee, you're supposed to keep, you know, them, the committee up under what, control? Okay, so that's where that would fall up under, and anything else that would, you know, where we're talking about accountability. Accounts payable, money owed by the cooperative to another party. So any expense that we have would be go up under accounts payable. Any income coming in would be go up under what, accounts receivable? Okay, amortization, the part of the payment made on a mortgage that serves to reduce the outstanding amount, principal, of the debt itself. So it's not including the interest. The amortization is only being calculated against the principal. Okay. Annual meeting, a meeting legally required of all cooperatives to which all members of the cooperative are invited. At the meeting, members may elect representatives to the co-op's board, hear financial reports, amend co-op bylaws, or attend to other business. So those are the things that can happen at this annual meeting. But then anything that we say we want to happen at the annual meeting can happen there. We just got to make sure that we include it in the meeting itself, you know, in the meeting announcement. But as a minimum, you know, these things. And as I said, once we get the bylaws, I really want these to be in concrete, if at all possible, because, you know, I don't want future generations to come up and change it to where it's not being used for or conducted for what we initially, what the Most High told me to do it for. So we don't want them to be able to change it. Appraisal. An official estimate of real or market value property upon which taxes and insurance are based. Articles of incorporation, a document filed with the Secretary of State that describes how the corporation is organized and how the co-op's equity formula works. So we will, as I said, we're going to do these articles of incorporation. I was going to do those tomorrow. But before, I may not do them tomorrow because I need to make sure that the type of corporation that we are going to set ourselves up as is the appropriate one. I know that it's not going to be an LLC, but I think it's going to be an S Corp, not a C Corp, because they have different reporting requirements. Okay. Anybody here other than myself ever set up a corporation? Did somebody speak up and say they have? I thought I heard somebody say that. Sister Lorraine, is your mic working?
Yes, I'm pretty sure I said no.
Okay. You're pretty sure of that, right? All right. Okay. I have software here that will let me fill out, you know, I fill in, you know, the different fields and stuff like that. And it will print the articles of incorporation. I have to see where it's at. And again, the S Corp has different, you know, an S Corp and a C Corp have different filing. Some of them you have to file quarterly. The LLCs are annually. But I forgot what the S Corp, the members of the S Corp can't be sued directly. So I will look at it, and I'll tell you guys what the difference is between the different ones, and why I chose to go with a certain one. But I know it's not going to be a limited liability. Because that's exactly what it says, limited. And it actually can expire. Okay. I think the S Corp is perpetual. So once you file it and become an entity, you just pay your corporation fees every year. Like for Yah's Global Kingdom, I just pay, you know, my corporation fees every year, and it's perpetual. It doesn't ever expire. Let's see. Appraisal. Audit. A formal examination and verification of an organization's books and records by an impartial, trained outside party, usually a certified public accountant. So as we start, you know, dedicating money towards certain things and taking in money or, you know, raising money and doing whatever or getting grants or loans, we really do want a bookkeeper. And I will have to look at what type of membership I have to make you all, because then anything that you do in regards to this endeavor, you would be able to write it off. So if you went somewhere to look at something, or if you travel somewhere, okay, let's say that Sister Mary and Sister Denise want to go to, let's say into St. Paul or one of the suburbs out there, and you are going for whatever reason, but you're going to mention Yesheron Farms, then your mileage is write-off, which means that the gas that you use is a write-off. If you went out of town, because I know you just went out of town before, like on vacation. If you, you know, if I give you the business card and you, you know, mention to someone anything about Yesheron Farms, and you're trying to get them, let's say you're trying to get them to buy the microgreens or anything, then guess what your trip just became?
Business trip,
right
off.
Right. So now your vacation is kind of what, free? So, you know, just learning and doing these things. But I got to figure out what kind of membership in the corporation I need to make everybody, so that you are eligible to do that. Okay. Balance sheet. But that means also if I'm not able to give it to you directly, then you would have to have your own business license, I'm thinking. If not, then you would be required to file your receipts through the organization. Does that make sense? And I have to see, if we don't reimburse you for it, then it's a write-off to you. If we reimburse you for it, then you can't write it off. Does that make sense? Okay. So I'm not trying to finance nobody's vacation, so don't even look at it like that. So you'll be able to file a receipt saying you did business, but then I'll say, okay, you can write this off your tax. Okay. A loan taken out for cooperative that covers all the building's debt, blanket mortgage. And we'll probably be looking at this as a group, you know, combining funding and having one mortgage, if we take a mortgage, to have, you know, the building built, like the residence, and have it built the way that we want to build it, whether it's with the shipping containers or whether it is, you know, brick and mortar. But we will say, okay, we're building a building to house this many people. And then as we get, you know, more participants, then we would be adding on to that same enclosure or building. until we can pay the land off. And once we pay the land off, then there's other things that we are able to do. I can actually take the parcels of land and re-split them again. And so treat them as, you know, I can say, okay, I'm going to take this piece of land and divide it up into six rather than have one parcel. And then each parcel would be able to be treated as, a, you know, like a separate piece of land with a whole other house on it or unit, the whole nine yards. So we just replicate what we did on the larger piece, but make the segments smaller so that we could, you know, put up more houses. Does that make sense? Okay, but we got to first pay off the land before we do that. If not, we have to do that. We have to pay it off first before we can do that. Subdivide it again. Board of directors. Elected by the co-op membership, the board of directors oversees the co-op's operations and finances on behalf of the members. Then our budget, an itemized plan that shows how resources will be used, usually presented as a forecast financial statement. Anybody used to doing budget? Or do we do budget? Budget. Okay. A lot of people don't do budget. But as a business entity, you have to do it. And, you know, the budget is just showing what you project, what you plan to spend, and where you plan to spend it. And if you got expenses, then, you know, what your income is coming in versus what you have going out, so that you can see whether you're at a positive or a negative. So, but most people do what I call a fudget. They just be fudging numbers, that you're not using actual numbers. They don't know what they actually spend. They know what they got coming in, but most people don't keep track of what they spend. They just sort of know, this is what I budgeted for, so I kind of know this is what I spent, but in actuality, what did you actually spend? So we will have to have a budget. So, you know, we will start off with as planning, you know, this much for housing, this much for electricity, this much for, you know, water, this much for fencing, this much for equipment. Because, you know, I know nobody want to get out in no field with no hoe. And I'm not talking, you know, I'm talking about like a wood and stick hoe, not the other. Nobody wants to get out there with that. So we want some modern convenience, you know, whether it is a, you know, I'll be willing to walk behind, which I plan to buy, you know, one of those, a hand tiller. It's a tiller, but it's motorized. One of those to till up the ground. But no, I would not be willing to get out there with, you know, a hoe and a shovel and talk about turning over this dirt or a pitchfork. No, that would just be ugly. So, you know, all those things, again, initially to start as much as I can get covered in grants, that's what we want to do. And then whatever we can't get covered in grants, depending upon, you know, how critical it is, then we may have to take out a loan. Again, and those loans can come through the USDA or whoever. So the budget, we're going to need that. Bylaw, rules of the corporation that aren't included in the articles of incorporation. So the Articles of Incorporation is going to say how we're set up. And I said we would add the bylaws as an amendment to the Articles of Incorporation. Okay. Bylaws cover such topics as voting, responsibilities of the co-op officers, and other governance types of issues. Capital. Assets which will be put to long-term use, major improvements or maintenance. Buying property, major appliance purchases are called capital expenses. Borrowed money for these expenses is called capital loans. Now, as I said, as I've been doing the research, the USDA, we just have to find it, find the programs, but a lot of this stuff, especially for a startup farm, and I'm saying if these farmers are so poor, how are they affording all this equipment? These turbines and the tractors and all this stuff. Well, a lot of that stuff was, huh? A lot of them don't. A lot of them, they got a grant for it. And then, you know, after you get past that phase and you want something bigger or whatever, then, yeah, you got to go out and finance it yourself. But then you got, like say, if you're a huge farm, and we're not trying to be a huge, huge farm. then, you know, they probably have federal loans and federal grants that they will, you know, give to the farmers to produce certain things. So, yeah, but we just have to look at this stuff. Carrying charge. A carrying charge is a monthly payment that each member makes to the co-op that covers all the co-op's fixed and variable expenses, such as debt service, utilities, insurance, legal fees, and so on. Certificate, as far as it comes to co-ops, sometimes called a share. A certificate represents an individual's right to occupy a specific space in the housing co-op. So rather than, you know, I think the way we may go, this is not in stone, but someone is buying a share or shares in the co-op. And that share or that certificate is what says they're authorized to live in a particular Well, so if we do it like we were talking about doing it, with, let's say with the container housing, then your module would be what you would be getting a certificate for. So your module would have, you know, your living room, your bathroom, your bedroom, and if we put a kitchen in there, then at that, I have still been looking at, we looked at Boxable. Did everybody look at Boxable with me before?
Yeah.
Still considering Boxable. I'm still considering buying the stock right now. I should have already bought it, but I'm still considering buying it. Boxable, where it comes with the complete unit, and all thing we have to do is just attach it to what exists. So let's say what I'm looking at is I'm going to refile for my VA certification as far as housing. I used it before, I refinanced, so it no longer needs that their guarantee. And if I use my VA for this, then let's say that the VA will do, let's say that they will do 700,000. Then I would take that and say, okay, can I put this into boxable units that I'm going to do this like, you know, a complex. where they're all, they're joined together. And I'm going to say that I'm going to live in this unit, and I'm going to rent out these other ones. That's the way it has to be done. I have to occupy one saying it's my primary residence, and then the other units, I can say I'm going to rent them out. So you guys will sign like rental agreements to satisfy that requirement. And then they would just finance the whole thing. Does that make sense? You know, just looking at different vehicles that are available. So if I can, you know, get them to do that, then the community will become responsible with me for making the payment. So we would take, you know, whatever, if it's Social Security or whatever we had, and I say, okay, this is what portion is going to this. And so, you know, we'll figure it out. But that's one of the things that I'm looking at doing. Yeah. So that, you know, we take the boxable units and say, okay, because the boxables come with, you know, complete kitchen, bathroom, bedroom, living room, you know, already all set up in that boxable unit. Only thing that I don't like about the boxable that was a concern was that we were going to get with the shipping containers was they'd be pretty much bulletproof. And that was the concern, you know, one of the things that I wanted with the shipping containers. You know, an ordinary bullet would not go through that shipping container. But the boxable houses,
shipping containers, like, how would that, like, would you have to put your all stuff you need in and, like,
we would have to build it out, just like you would. You would look at the shipping container like the shell of a house. And now you got to put up all the walls and the insulation and electrical. You got to build out the inside of that house. And so, you know, it'd be work that I know a brother that would come and help me. But, you know, putting in the frames, cutting out the windows and the doors, putting in the electrical, the plumbing. You know, it's just like you would be building a house. But it'd just be in that container. And because of, you know, I would really try to sign, depending upon if we did a 40-foot container, you know, and how big we made the kitchen, and things like that. For individuals where they don't really have a lot or don't need a lot, they're not a family, let's say that. Say it's two single females. If you put two bedrooms in there, a living room and a kitchen, or a living room and a bathroom. Did I lose? I'm not. Did I disconnect? I can.
Come back here.
Don't ask for it. So I
just, you don't know, so I don't know why I'm going to ask you.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. All right, so they are about the same.
Okay, but the box is less work.
Yeah, it's less work, and it doesn't meet my standard for security for, you know, in the future where if all hell breaks out, like the Most High says is going to, and you want to lock things down, and if you're trying to defend yourself, you would not want to defend yourself in one of those boxes.
Right. Well, that's not
the question. It is and it isn't. It, you know, just means that we have to come up with a different defense mechanism.
Okay.
You know, whether we give up on the houses as far as, you know, and actually develop a bunker system underground with shipping containers or some other, you know, other mechanism. You know, I wanted to build this right into the, with the shipping containers because of what they are. You know, being that corrugated steel, and, you know, anything that we cut out for windows or doors just becomes shutters that, you know, we would actually incorporate back in, that you'd have a lever inside that would actually close it. And we would cut a slit in, you know, have a slit that's cut in there where your gun barrel would go through. That you would be, you know, how you defend yourself. With the boxables, you know, boxables are, they got some metal in them, but it's not thick enough that, you know, I don't think that it would stop a bullet. So, right, and you would just get, you sitting there trying to defend yourself and they're shooting you through the wall. That's not good. So, you know, I'm considering those things up front because, you know, we really can't afford to be redoing things. You know, I don't have the money like that, and I don't think any of us do. And so, whatever we do, we want to do it right the first time.
Right.
And move on from there. So, you know, the boxables, as I said, I may be able to get the VA to finance based upon that. I may not get the VA to be able to finance based upon the shipping containers. You know, again, everything is all about presentation and how you word it. And so if I say, you know, the building material is going to be the shipping container, and here are the architectural diagrams and I could probably get one of my friends who have the general construction license that, you know, are authorized to build homes and stuff like that. To come in on it, I would offer them, you know, whatever that, you know, they want it, but I would just want them to supervise, to use their license. And the vast majority of the work. Yeah, I think that's my internet. All right. I think I need to be hardwired. I shouldn't be doing this wirelessly. from my end because I'm running stuff from here. No, it ain't that tired, Mary. All right. Am I still connected? Yeah, for whatever reason, it's disconnecting me from the media server. But it's keeping you guys connected, so that's good. No, but, you know, I can work on my issue. It's easier for me to work on mine because the computer's right here. So I will probably hardwire back in on this. I'm using my laptop. I'm not on my desktop. So I'll probably hardwire back in. Okay, it looks like I got disconnected. All right, I should be back. Okay. All right, so we're going to wind this up. We're at 15 till. I check your email, the group email that I send out. These attachments are in there. The agenda and the glossary. Look for another email. I'm gonna put this guide in there, or I may just send it to you individually because I don't want to send the guide out to the community. So I will send it. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, just tell it to go ahead and update.
Okay.
Because that's what it's trying to do on your machine.
Okay.
And I don't know how long it's going to take. Like I said, my computers are old. I don't buy new computers for the simple reason I usually buy what were a business's old servers, and they are so they probably cost brand new between $7,000 and $15,000, and I get them for like $200 or $300, and they last forever. So, but it as time goes on, technology outgrows everything. So I can't update these to Windows 11, but I'll probably go down to the recycle and find some newer servers that somebody, recycled. And they will probably be able to be upgraded to Windows 11, and I'll use those. But I don't buy brand new. I haven't bought a brand new computer in 10 or 15 years. So, yeah, anyway, we will start reviewing this document. So go through the glossary of terms that I'm going to send out to you guys, or what you already got them in, but then I'm going to send out the guide, start going through that. With the understanding that the goal is to get to, being able to write the bylaws. Okay, and the bylaws will be based wherever possible and practical, which is almost everywhere, be based on the scriptures. Okay, so that will be our foundation. And so when it comes to, grievances and stuff like that, The scriptures tell us to that we don't go outside the group, but that we settle, you know, if we got a one-on-one problem, we come to each other first. And then if we can't settle that between us, then we bring it to the elders, which is going to be, in this case, the board. And they'll have to settle. Okay. And then everybody in, you know, and I think the way I'm going to have it written, the way the Most High has it, the Most High says, hey, if the board makes a decision and you don't like their decision, but you brought it to them, then you got to abide by that decision. And if you absolutely refuse to abide by the decision, then that's right. Those are grounds for eviction. Can't kill you like the scripture says. So we just evict you. Okay. So that's the way we'll go about it. But we want, as I said, we want to line up with the scriptures. I don't want it to be my personal opinion or, you know, my personal bias. It's whatever the Most High says. And wherever we can do that at, then that's what we will go with. And then wherever it's not covered, then we'll vote on it democratically. All right, so I make a motion that we pray out first. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you today. We thank you for the information that you have provided to us. Father, give us the time and the energy and the willpower to go through the documents, Father, and that we might come and be able to conduct your business as prudent stewards, as you have said that we should be. Father, give us favor. Let us make the best decisions that we can possibly make. Order ourselves. Guide us in what we should do. Father, keep each and every individual safe. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. Okay. Sorry about that. I love you. I really do. But I can't love you as much as Yah loves you. So we'll see everybody on tomorrow. Until that time, be safe and be blessed. And remember, fear the Most High.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, I got kicked out. All right, I should be back. All right, am I back? All right, am I back now? All right, amen. I'm going to have to hardwire this computer in. I think that when they start watching TV or whatever over the web, it's, you know, competing. So it knocks me off. But if I'm hardwired, that won't happen. Yeah, I just turned off the video.
Oh.
All right, so we will meet tomorrow for Shabbat, and we'll meet again next Thursday. Please review the document. I'm going to actually start going through it in more detail, and then again, the review is toward writing the initial bylaws. That being said, I make a motion that we call this, that we dismiss this meeting. Do I have a second? Or adjourn this meeting? All right, we've got a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. All right, peace and blessings, family, and we'll see you on tomorrow. Happy Sabbath or happy evening. Good grief. Let me do this online because we're also broadcasting still on the telephone. So let me play the theme song. We'll be on telephone tomorrow. Yeah, I will tell you when we'll start this. I'll do both of them at the same time. But tomorrow I won't do it. I'm going to figure out, make sure that I'm not going to get disconnected after I hardwire in. All right, so peace and blessings, and so have a blessed evening.
Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall.